Thank you so much for excuse me, joining me in this space and sharing this space with me. I am so grateful and thankful for all of you guys for tuning in and all the support that I have gotten thus far. As you know, we always start off with some tea, but before we get into the herbal teas that we will be partaking in today, I would love to introduce my beautiful guest, Zadora. Thank you so
Hello.
much for joining me today. It's been a long time coming. I'm so happy that we're finally able to like get together and like do something together. 'Cause like it's been, when did we meet? We met at like a, it was a networking event. Was it like the A-list?
Yes, it
It
was the
was
women
the
supporting women.
period. Here
And
we
here we
are.
are.
So thank you so much for being here. And I cannot wait to get into your lovely products and what you offer, the services you offer. So go
Yes.
ahead and tell us about your beautiful business.
Thank you. As she said, my name is Zadora Williams, and I go by Sunflower. And I am a licensed clinical social worker. So that means I specialize in providing mental health services. And
Praise
I'm
God.
also a holistic practitioner specializing in energy work as well as spiritual care. So I'm all
Period.
about cultivating
All of
different
it.
practices.
Yes, and I love that. And I've been like waiting to like just get you one-on-one to like dig deeper into your business and all of the things. And
Yes.
I was going through your page when I was like trying to connect with you about coming on the podcast, and I didn't even know that you offer Reiki. I would love
Yes.
to have a Reiki session with you, like especially happening with like a woman of color. Because
Yes.
I've had Reiki with the first person that introduced me to all of this spiritual journey and all the
Okay.
things. So I had Reiki done with her, and she is a woman of color. But other than that, like I've had some like energy work, and it was like with a person that wasn't of color. So I think honestly, and I love her, but like I just think it kind of makes a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like especially when it comes to like doing ancestral work. You feel me?
It definitely is different, okay?
I think it would. I think it would. So I'm gonna talk to you more about that, like a one-on-one Reiki session. But let's get into our herbal tea for today. So this one I got, so it's a mix of what is in here? Skullcap, spearmint, chamomile, rose petals, demania. And yeah, so I got this. Honestly, I forgot where I got this tea from, but it's the tea that you are supposed to take before you go to sleep, and it helps with like dreams and all the things. So, and it also helps you to calm before you go to sleep. So, I use this tea and I love it. But today, I'm gonna mix this with some butterfly pea, which I freaking love. I love butterfly pea, and I was introduced to this, after I was diagnosed with cancer. Somebody told me that this has cancer-fighting properties.
Let's
So
go.
yeah, you guys should definitely check out butterfly pea. I love it. I actually make this drink that I call it Blue
I
Magic.
know, because it's so pretty.
It's so pretty. It's really good too. Like I'll make the tea, I'll put like some almond milk, some cinnamon, and I don't want to tell y'all all my little razzle dazzles, but it's really
Keep your
good.
sacred, you know, your sacred
Yeah.
practice.
So we're gonna use some butterfly pea as well. We're also gonna use some hibiscus flowers, and then we're also gonna use some clove for flavoring, and then obviously the honey. So I forgot my local honey that I bought at the farmer's market. So I have to go to New Seasons and get some quick honey real quick. But anyway, let's put these herbs up in here. So I do not measure, guys. I just go on the fly, whatever spirit is telling me to do. I just put some herbs in here, okay? So I'm put
Same,
some
baby. Follow your spirit.
following the spheres. So I'm gonna put, so I want that blue color in there. So I'm gonna put more of the butterfly pea in there. And you know what's funny is I use these in my tea, and I also use these in my spiritual bath as well. So yes,
I literally
man,
just made
I
some
love my
oils last
herbs.
night without
Hibiscus.
you.
And then also, guys, these herbs that I'm using, I bought, these are local. I bought from Herb Stomp. They're located off of Belmont. They're pretty good. And then also the cloves that I'm using are from Wildish. They're no longer, well, they still are in business, but it's only online. But I like to keep you guys in the know where you can go get your herbs locally if you're in Portland, Oregon.
Look at those pretty colors.
Hibiscus in there is so pretty, isn't it?
Yes.
Out in here. And then I'm going to put some of these in here. You know what was good the last episode too is that we brought the tea over to the other setting and it just kept like sitting over time, yes, and we're talking and like, yes, steeping all that flavor, all the things. It was really good. So I'm looking forward to trying this.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Our water in here. Give you guys some of that action, water pouring action. Have you ever tried Sheila G?
Ooh.
Sheila G?
Nope. Not familiar with it.
So it's a resin, and it's supposed to have just as many, if not more, nutrients than sea moss.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's resin. It's like black, tarry. Mm-hmm. Has like a really earthy smell. But you should look into it. It's really good too.
Okay.
I add that to my tea. I add that to my tea sometimes. Oh my god! That look is at that so color pretty.
Already. Season magic.
Hey. Witchy vibes.
Yeah. Making them potions, witchy vibes. Baby.
All right. So I do want to ask you like more questions about your products. So this is?
That is a sunflower's glow oil. And this is the oil that you want to put on when you are wanting to feel confident, when you are wanting to really start releasing and open up that solar plexus, that sacral chakra. Connecting with your joy center. Okay, so this is what we're doing to bring the love back in.
I love
that. Put it on, girl.
Yes, affirmations
on. Feel it.
For real.
And feel just it. Wanting women to invite touch back into a daily practice because we're not often slowing down enough to even tune in and feel what is going on in our body.
Yeah, we always rush in and just grab some lotion and put it on. Like, we gotta go. Like,
exactly.
So I love that. Like, this is like very intentional, like slowing down, just really rubbing the oil on your body. Like, I love that. I like to put oil on my body before and after.
You want to feel good after. In the
no,
water.
For real. Yes. Before and after.
I'm here for it. And we have little spiritual baths here because I'm all about giving folks the tools to cleanse their energy, teaching them how to literally release those energetic blockages with beautiful plant healing properties, and also call in what it is you want to receive. And baby, those that know, they know. They you take know. That.
Yes, I'll be taking my bath.
You're going to be attracting now.
Period.
People going to be following you.
I love that.
So that's
I need some of that.
You know?
I don't know.
Maybe like follow your nose. Oh, is that a sunflower? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And so you have a book.
Yes, and this is just a self-love journal.
So oh, it's a journal.
It's a whole practice to literally invite women to tune back in spiritually and begin to take care of yourself and just go at your own pace. So there's different energy work exercises that you can do as well as mental exercises to help reduce and release anxiety, depression. So this is a whole guide to literally bring more self-love back to yourself and teach people tools to ground and heal at home.
Period. Because we need that. A lot of people need that. Me and my man were having a conversation in bed yesterday. We were watching another podcast, Joe Budden podcast.
Okay.
Do you know Joe Budden podcast?
Yes.
Do you watch it?
Sometimes.
Girl. Oh my God. Joe Budden. But they were what were they talking about? They were talking about like, there was another podcast, a man said that he doesn't like the saying, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
And they were trying, he was like trying to break it down, like, you know, happy wife, but then like men are programmed to be providers and just provide and that's it. It is, they're happy to, happiness doesn't matter. And I was like, tell my man, I was like, that's not what that means. Happy wife, happy life to me, that doesn't mean that, oh, the man is going to be unhappy or neglect yourself. Like people literally will just have an understanding of something like that and just
have their own
and just go with it because that's not what that means. Like everybody, you know, that girl, that just girl, we was I was like this, going like debating, going back and forth. I was like, yeah, no,
Okay? How do I do not mean neglect yourself?
Exactly.
But that's what society has portrayed it to be, as if you got to do everything to keep your wife happy, and it does not matter your cost. Like, go make that money. Go provide. It don't matter that you're navigating some mental health things that you may not even be acknowledging in that moment. So it just be like, produce.
Yeah, I do like to promote, like, men's mental health, especially the Black men, because they go through so much. And I think it's just needed. Girl, I'll be encouraging my little brother to go to therapy. Like I said, me and my kids.
Yeah, I know that's right.
We are in therapy. Y'all gonna be exposed to goddamn therapy.
I know that's right. Say, get in the practice of expressing
it is okay. It is okay. And I also have been encouraging my man to go back to therapy. He's had some therapy before, but yeah, go to therapy, okay? Go to therapy. Please.
Go for it.
There's not a huge spiritual community, I guess, with women of color, I feel like.
Yeah, it's fragmented.
Yeah.
It's here and it's fragmented.
It is, and I hate that for us. I hate that for us, men. So, like, I'm just happy to, like, meet with like-minded people such as yourself.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Oh, I'm not connected to... Okay. Dang it. Do you have those, those topics?
Yeah.
Do you mind bringing them up for me? Conversation. Yes. I need to talk about healing. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to your ancestors.
I was gonna say, I like when your spirit shows up, or
how
are you being guided, or your connection with the elements around you. Because me, I have a divine connection with trees.
Yes.
So I'm that girly that's always looking, because I know that, well, baby, the divine speaks through any and every living thing.
Yes.
So knowing that my ancestors is in them trees.
Yes.
And the wisdom that I get. Girl.
You guys have no idea, like, how refreshing this is to talk to somebody like this way on this level, because it's just like a fresh air. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't understand. Like, I like to go on hikes. Like, I like to be in nature.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I like to have a friend that I can go to walk on and nature with, like, a, like on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like a lot of people do not go in nature.
They say they do and they don't.
But, like, just to be able to talk to, like, to hear you say, like, I love, have a, I have a connection mm-hmm. with trees. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, nature, like, or the, what is that? All of the elements.
All of them.
Water, mm-hmm. earth, fire, air, like, all of the elements. Like, earth, like, grounding, like, you know what I'm saying? I remember I went to the park with my homegirl one summer, and I took my shoes off.
Yeah.
And I was just standing in the grass. She's like, ew, you don't have your shoes on. I was like, yeah, I'm grounding.
Yes.
Like, maybe you should try this too.
Say, I need that energy from the earth.
You have to connect with the earth, man. Like, literally. Like, I love taking spiritual baths. Like, yes. I connect with water a lot. Like, same. I love to drive to the coast and sit at the ocean. Mm-hmm. Even if it's cloudy. I don't need to go to the, I don't have to go to the beach only when it's sunny.
Exactly.
I go when it's cloudy, when it's raining.
It's whenever I'm
ocean is so powerful. That big ass body of water. Mm-hmm. And our ancestors are in there.
Period.
And that's, like, it's so powerful just being at the ocean, just sitting. Like, you just feel that power. It's just so, like, I get emotional when I'm just sitting there. Like, I just cry.
As you should.
And it's not like I'm just crying, like, out of sadness. I'm just crying because I'm just, like, connected.
Just
I'm feeling
release.
That power, that energy, and release, or mm-hmm. whatever I'm feeling in that moment. And it's not always just negative.
No.
No, I just.
And
I
that's the thing.
That.
Sometimes people think when they cry, it always has to be sadness. And some people have been conditioned out of crying. Right?
Oh,
because it's not
God.
Safe
Talk
to cry.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's like we have to get back to the space of allowing ourselves to feel and recognizing that, baby, when you are crying, that is an energetic release. That is the emotions leaving your body. So when you suppress your tears, that is when you start to create those energetic blockages mm-hmm. that lead to physical illness.
Yes.
Suppressing those emotions.
I have spoken to a handful of women as of late, and they literally have said, like, I stop myself from crying, or I don't want to cry, and I'm like, or I can't cry, like, I won't let myself cry, like, it won't come out. I'm like, are
yes.
you fucking kidding me?
Yes.
That is insane. That's sad. Like, I feel bad.
I know.
Like, I genuinely feel bad for, like, people who feel like they can't cry, or they're, I don't get it. And everybody has their own journey. I'm not judging or anything like that, but I just feel for people who cannot or don't have the ability to release those emotions because it does turn into sickness.
It does.
It
and
does.
It's like eventually those tears, that water retains somewhere. And that's what I always tell people, like, the energy has to go somewhere. When you feel those feelings, that's why we say it's okay to sit with your feelings, feel them, and then process through them, and then move through them to release. Because, baby, if you're not feeling them and you're just suppressing them, you're going to find out later.
Yeah, you're going to find out later.
You're going to reap those consequences.
And you know what? Like, I had to do some, like, reflecting when I was diagnosed with cancer. This friend of mine, she was diagnosed with cancer and some other health issues and shit too. But she's exposed me to this book, and I forgot the name of it, but it pretty much broke down illnesses to, like, heartbreak or
yes.
whatever.
So
I'm like, and heartbreak actually is
yes.
Breast cancer.
I know.
I was like, that blew me the fuck away. I was like, damn. Well, and at the time, like, I had already started therapy, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in therapy for 6 years, so I'm, like, reflecting, like, well, damn, what am I not letting go of? You
exactly. And sometimes, like, even when it comes to breast cancer, so there's this whole practice of medicine. It's called New German medicine, and that's exactly how it interprets what goes on in the body. It all comes down to different emotions and different threats. And even when it comes to breast cancer, that is a heart threat. It's a worry threat. Like, you lost someone or you're disconnected from, say, your baby moved away and went to college. that could literally, that fear, that concern festers. And that is where it will be held. And it's like all of these different things that create lifelong chronic illness, and it literally comes back to our emotions. Even when we're not even aware of, like, oh my God, my spouse works, he travels for work. And then you have breast cancer, because it's literally the worry, the fear. And sometimes we don't even know that we're feeling all of those things, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, man, that's why I say, feeling those feelings.
You gotta feel those feelings.
You gotta feel them.
So I do wanna ask you questions more about, like, your practice. Like, so first, how did you get started, or why? Like, what was, like, why did you wanna become, like, a family therapist?
Yes, well, I'm from Chicago, and I grew up on the East Side, so I grew up seeing a lot of, well, different things playing out, and it started, like, in the school systems of seeing how the kids on my block, the kids in my community, how they were treated or, you know, mislabeled, ridiculed as being bad kids, when actually, it was like, y'all getting on this kid because he's sleeping in class, but y'all don't know what just happened last night at his house. You don't know if them kids was at my house last night, because my mom was kind of, I mean, that's who she was. When things go down, she was safe house on the block. My mom always had multiple kids in her care. So it's like, I just do, I embody what I see. And then also I always felt bad. I was an empath, and I would feel that pain. I'm like, y'all don't even know what my friend just went through, and y'all talking about they bad, or you're saying that they're, you know, oh, they want to sleep, get up. And it's like, they had a rough night. Their mom was
doing this addiction. Didn't sleep or anything.
No, it's like
abused. Or
yes, a lot of that. And so that always made me just like, I always wanted to understand why. I want to understand behavior. I wanted to understand why some of the kids were acting the way they were in class. And I also wanted to, you know, I was a dad advocate, because, baby, I had the attitude in the mouth. You're not going to talk about my friend,
period.
Just to grow up and become a social worker.
Yeah.
An advocate. And these are the things that I actually would be criticized for as a black girl, you know? Yeah. You always got an attitude. She always got something to say. Because I would speak up when I saw harm was taking place. And I did not care if it was an adult harming a kid, or man harming a woman, and I'm just a little kid, and I'm like, stop that. Yeah. You know, I didn't like it, because I would literally be feeling their pain. So,
well, we're thankful for people like you who are creating safe spaces for parents and for kids. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, me and my kids, I've exposed them to therapy, and my oldest son and I are in family therapy. Just, you know, want to be a better parent or whatever. And so, tell us about your event tomorrow, first of all.
Okay. Like,
I can't wait to go, like, to one of your events. It's a long time coming, but I wish I could come tomorrow, but I did not, because my oldest son's birthday is tomorrow.
Yes.
But anyway, tell us about your event.
So tomorrow I am facilitating one of my parenting classes, which is called The Liberated Parenting. It's a workshop series, but I'm just doing one. And this is centering supporting parents that are feeling anxious, needing that support parenting through stress and anxiety, or they are parenting kids with anxiety. So this is an opportunity for parents to actually come and actually have a space to learn some tools for how to maneuver through anxiety on the mental level, on the spiritual level, on the physical and energetically. So I'm all about, talking about that intergenerational trauma and the things that we show up with as parents that we may not be aware of is affecting the way we're engaging with our kids. So I just take parents on a journey to go back to their roots.
To come to one of those workshops, because like I was saying before, it would be nice to connect with parents that are also wanting that for themselves and their children. It would be nice to connect with people like that, because like a lot of people don't believe in therapy. They don't believe in children having emotions and feelings.
I know.
And it's sad, you know what I'm saying? Like, my kids, I'm trying to give them a safe space to correct me or hold me accountable. You know what I'm saying? Like, because growing up, bro, I wouldn't dare. My parents, like, stay in kids' place, don't do, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's like, that did not help me in no type of way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it actually made me afraid of my dad, for real.
Oh, I know. Same with me and my father.
And so, like, I don't want to create an environment for my kids where they are afraid to come to me, end up getting into some bullshit, mm-hmm. because I did not have an open door, or did not build that rapport with my kids enough to, you know, help them maneuver in these type of situations. Like,
I feel like if I had that
for my parents, then I honestly feel like if I had that support, I wouldn't have gone through some of the things that I did. That's why I try to create an environment for my kids to tell me, like, hey, mom, I didn't like this, or you said this, and I'm like, okay, like, you know, it's all about how it's said, because I don't allow my kids to disrespect me in no type of way, but I do allow them to speak their mind, and also, like, mom, you said, well, why didn't you do this? You said you were going to do that. Like, you hold me accountable.
We need that.
Yeah, they need that.
They need it. And it's about modeling. Right? And that's what I tell my parents that come to my workshops. It's about knowing that your kids learn. Everybody learns more from what they see rather than what you say. So if you're telling your child, hey, you should do this, but you're not modeling it for them, you can almost guarantee that that's going to be something that they struggle with later. Mm-hmm. Right? If you don't clean up after yourself, but you're always telling your kids, clean up, they're going to follow your lead. Yep. So it needs to be the same with healing. You know, setting that tone of, hey, you can express yourself. And also, when mommy is doing something to hurt your feelings, or I've done something that violated you, you do. Come, let me know. Or mommy not standing on the word or the commitment. Hey, mom, I got to follow back up with you. You said you was going to do this. And that's okay. And that's how we build family accountability, right? We are actually raising our kids to be healthy adults. Because you see it right there, why do kids, you know, how do people not cry? It's because of the households they're raised in. They said, what you crying for? You want me to give you something to cry about? Right? Just because you were feeling your feelings. So when them tears become a threat or something that's going to warrant you to be physically harmed, you're going to naturally, your trauma response will kick in and you're going to suppress those tears. And that's how you end up with folks who are not comfortable crying. Because their tears has been a source of more pain, or the tears were not welcomed in their home. So
everybody needs to switch therapies. We might need to come to you.
For real, because like our therapist girl, she canceled like two or three times in a row.
Oh, baby.
And then like, yeah, girl. I don't know. We might have to.
It's
change.
A
shame. I don't know.
It. But also, like, I just noticed me. Unfortunately, I still have some of my parents' ways. Even though, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have to correct myself all the time. It's like, ooh, no, my mom and dad used to yell at me a lot. Oh, I need to stop yelling at my kids so much. I really do.
Oh, I do too. My child's, that's their biggest problem with me.
Yelling.
Mommy, you said you were not to yell. Like, I'm sorry, I'm yelling because, baby, I'm not hitting. Mm-hmm. So that's what's important to me. It's like, I understand that this is something I'm working on, and I'm not perfect. I'm definitely a yeller, but I'm like, baby, I could definitely be putting hands on y'all. Mm. But that is what I'm not doing. This is what I'm choosing not to do. Now, have my kids got some taps in the past? Yes. You know, because that is recognizing that what you are conditioned by. And then you know how that impulse feels when you literally have to go against the way you were conditioned. And that's where the grace comes.
You know what? I came across a post that Viola Davis actually, she posted.
Uh-huh.
And she was talking about, I'm trying to bring it up. She was talking about, because you know it's Black History Month and whatnot. She was talking about like the things that we don't recognize in Black households that we normalize, but is part of trauma.
Yeah.
Like food shaming.
Yeah.
What was some of the other stuff on there? I think definitely spanking your kids or something.
I mean, because that goes back to slavery. Yes. Right? I have to beat you into obedience. Right? That's literally what it goes back
to. That's what it was. She said that the parents, like if kids had like special talents and stuff,
yeah,
they would tell the kids like don't do that or like beat them or like shame them for it, mm-hmm. because the kids that had special talents and stuff like that, they would be sold off, or they yep. would become like house servants or like be taken away from the parents.
Exactly.
And so we still have that, mm-hmm. like don't talk like that or don't do that like in front of people and stuff.
Oh, yes.
So uh-huh. man, that shit runs deep, bro.
It does, and that's actually what Dr. Joy DeGruy, you know, the author of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, that's exactly what she talks about in her book, is literally that process of how we can sometimes denigrate our children out of protection. And that just shows you literally the generational trauma of we didn't endure slavery. We wasn't in right. that environment, exactly. but we still have it. Yes. Because
this is what I try to explain. We have that race conversation. This is how I try and break it down, because I'm from Portland, Oregon, so yeah. there's a lot of, I've had,
yeah,
okay, unspoken, but I've had to explain to somebody when I'm talking about race, mm-hmm. like, just how I have trauma that was passed down through my bloodline, my yes. ancestors, like, mm-hmm. we're still feeling the effects of that.
Yeah.
You too also have that inside exactly. of you.
And so
you come from that.
Exactly.
You might not be consciously racist, but yeah. subconsciously it's yeah. in your bloodline. It's yes. where you come from. Mm-hmm. It's in your household. It's yeah. what you grew up
here. Hello? Come on now.
So you also have to deprogram yourself. First of all, you need to fucking just recognize that shit.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it, accept it.
Sit
in that shit.
Yes.
Sit in it.
And you know what?
Like, don't try and convince me. Like, you need to, yeah.
Do your thing. Do your work.
Do your thing. And that's another thing. I'm not educating no fucking body. I've tried to do that, girl.
Well, I only do that for money. I'm sorry. Because that's literally, I do provide organizational healing, which is when I come into okay. businesses
okay.
and nonprofits, and I provide mental health trainings as well as anti-bias and anti-blackness trainings. Mm. Because this is the healing journey of understanding that, baby, to move through bias, it is a healing journey, because you literally, and this is what I help open white individuals as well as non-black individuals, as well as the black individuals that may not be aware that they're carrying that trauma mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. right? I have to educate them on, hey, just like we were the recipients of that harm and we are still feeling the effects,
yep.
you have the tendency to be violent, mm-hmm. to dominate. And whether you, and if you're not aware of it, you can guarantee you're likely causing harm and being unaware. But yeah, you have to look at your own generational trauma. And it may not look like ours because you're going to the recipient, but what does it mean to be a perpetrator of violence? And that is passed down. And it will come out in subtle ways, even when you
subtle
think
ways.
You won't.
Subtle ways.
You know, look, uh-huh.
No,
some
I,
of them.
I literally had a friend, a white girl, that I had gotten close with, and I tried to, like, educate, and we had conversations, and I'm, like, just fucking mind blown by the shit that she would say sometimes. I'm like,
yeah.
But our last conversation was, me and her had roommated, and she has a black man now. And
okay.
so me and her man were talking about how her apartment, the management company, they were racist.
Okay.
She treated me differently, and she also treated her boyfriend differently. We were both black. Mm-hmm. So him and I were talking about this, and she inserted herself as, oh, no, they're not racist. They're not. I said, well, how do you know that?
Uh-huh.
How do you know? I said, I'm not going to say her name. I said,
yeah,
girl, like, we're telling you, this is what we experience, literally.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how do you know if she is or not? We're telling you what we experience.
Right.
And so she started getting red in the face. And I was like, look, I know it's probably uncomfortable with you to talk about race.
Yeah.
However, this is a reality. You have a black man. You
yes.
have a black girl that you call your best friend. Mm-hmm. So, oh no, it's okay. I can talk about race. I was like, really? I said, okay. So I got a little bit deeper.
Yes.
So then, girl, I get a phone call. Probably like some days later, it was like, I would like to have these kind of conversations, but like, I just want to make sure it's a safe space.
Okay. For who?
For who?
Safe for who? Her? You?
Who we're making it safe for?
Who? What?
How is it unsafe? Yeah. I like, girl, and so that was like the end of it. I was like, okay, I'm down there. I'm not educating, I'm not saying shit else because, bitch, why do I, excuse my language, I don't know. Why do I need to create a safe space for you?
Yeah.
And what did I do? What did I do? What did I do to make you feel unsafe?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm over.
That's the tea on that. That's
okay.
The
tea. Okay.
Right?
Cheers to that tea. Cheers to that tea.
I know that's right.
But so I really wanted to get into want to ask you about plant medicine and like spirituality. So I partake in, I smoke marijuana sometimes.
Yeah.
And I also am a big advocate for mushrooms.
Yeah.
Really?
Are these mushrooms?
Oh, yes. Girl, people be looking at me like, oh, fucking insane. I be like, I love mushrooms. Like,
they're my friends.
Girl, and you know what's crazy about it is that my therapist, my first therapist, actually recommended it to me.
Yeah.
Because like I was telling her how I was like I feel like I was having like a drinking problem. Like I was drinking, so I was like, I want to slow down drinking. Like I don't want to drink or whatever. And I think I want to take a break from weed too. And she was like, have you ever tried mushrooms? And I was like, no. Like, you know, I was kind of like, But I finally freaking tried it. And I was like, oh my god, I love that.
Me too.
So I microdosed, like I've never gone on like a huge trip.
Oh no, I don't. Maybe I would have been on big trips.
Really?
And maybe when I say I follow spirit, I don't measure shit, I go just
do it.
And I fuck around and find out what's my level. That's how I learn where my level is. Yes.
Or I've been scared to do
that. Baby, I done been to the other side.
You been to the other side?
Baby, where, when I tell you the shrooms were shroomy, it was like a time lapse video.
Really?
Everything was moving. So vividly, so it was literally like a rapid time lapse.
Ooh.
And baby, I found out like when you, I would say, push it to the limit, you will find out mushrooms, they regulate your body temperature. I was in Jamaica, freezing.
What?
Yes, because I took too much.
Oh my god.
Yes, yeah, so I found out like, ooh, okay, that's not okay. Because I was like, okay, I took a half because I'll eat them. I'll do tinctures, liquid form. Yeah.
So I've only done, so I started off with chocolate mushroom bars.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I can measure this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was like,
God.
So I started a microdose. But then as of recent, like a few months ago, I was at this house, a little after party. But anyway, she has some actual just like mushrooms.
Yeah.
And so I made the mushroom tea.
Yes.
Girl, but that like, I was tripping.
Yeah.
But like not tripping, but it was like a bigger trip than I normally have.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, I was laying in the grass.
Yes.
I was laying by the lake in the grass.
Oh my god,
it felt so good.
Yes.
But I wasn't able to measure. I did kind of like it though. I think I do want to go on like a bigger trip.
Yeah.
I think I need to do that.
Cause that's, I love, and that's what I'm like, I love just following where they take you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it will be, literally. A day of exploration where time does not matter and literally you're just flowing with nature. And that's what I found. That's what I do. I go and I stare at trees because I love it and the way they move. And then I get so much wisdom from them that I get it when I'm on shrooms and I get it when I'm not having shrooms.
Yeah.
But yes, girl,
good
for you. It is such a.
But yeah, no, I'm like a big advocate of it. Like, I microdose and it's actually helped me to release trauma.
Yes.
And I was crying happy tears.
Yes.
When I first tried.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was by myself.
Yes.
And because I could not find anybody to try with. So I was like,
and sometimes that's for the best. Because you really don't know the energy, how other people and what their stuff, whatever may come up.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I tried it by myself.
Yeah.
Where I was, it was after I had my first surgery when I got my double mastectomy.
Okay.
Because I was in bed, I couldn't do shit. Yep. So I'm in this. I was like, let me just try these mushrooms. Girl was in there laughing, crying. Yes. And I just felt like energy is just like releasing. It was flowing. Mm-hmm. I was like, it felt so good.
I know.
And so I started microdosing and I was going to therapy. Like, I just felt like I was releasing so much trauma and negative emotions out of my body.
Exactly. That was my experience. Like, when I first tried mushrooms, I was like, oh my God, what would happen if everybody was on shrooms on the same day at the same time? We could really do some massive healing.
Hell yeah.
Because I felt that same energy. I've had some very powerful healing, trauma releases, emotions that maybe have been trapped in it. I was like, even doing, I love to do mushrooms and engage in yoga because that release is just really heightened. It facilitates some rapid release there.
I really need to get into some yoga, man.
Oh, I need to get back into it bad.
Really?
Yeah, because.
How has it helped you? Just like move the body movement, like just like moving energy and releasing?
That's how it's very helpful for me. And also, it helps me slow down because I'm a person that kind of goes fast. And so I was anti-yoga because I'm like, that's too slow for me. I'm a dancer. I'm a Zumba girly. And to be still and sit and hold the pose, I don't have the patience for that.
Yeah.
But I developed it, and it was also a part of my healing journey because I had became plagued with a chronic health illness. And I was like, So I got to start doing the thing to take care of me.
Period.
And now I'm like, I'm feeling like I'm like,
yeah.
I need to be back in some yoga. This body needs to be stretched,
released. So how long have you been here in Portland, Oregon?
Girl, 13 years.
It's been 13 years. You're officially in Oregon.
I know.
How do you feel about Portland, Oregon?
You know, it's a beautiful place. I love it because this is where I ascended. I had a lot of my spiritual growth here. Baby, I was your friend. Back in Chicago, you never will catch me in the forest on a hiking trail. I'm definitely not taking off my shoes and walking in grass. That's nasty. Mud, ants. I'm very anti-nature. So coming here was it was awakening in itself. And it's been this beautiful journey of now I'm that girl that is in the grass and I'm not bothered by the ants. And I'm able to take my shoes off and just really immerse myself in nature because I feel the healing, the current, baby.
Yes.
And I'm here for it.
I wish that everybody could just understand that, like, connecting to earth, like, is so healing. Just being outdoors in the forest and sitting, like, looking at the sky, like,
yes,
it's so healing. It really is. Like, and I don't understand why people don't get that.
Some they ain't ready to get it.
I don't think that they
be like, buy the woods for what?
I know, for real.
It's dangerous, and that's the thing of also, there's still a lot of trauma. Like, folks is scared to go on a hike by themselves as black people out here. Like, I'm the girl that goes on plenty of hikes by myself, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's the shadow because, baby, I ain't scared. But every time I'm like, girl, go on a hike, do this, baby. Well, I'm not going out there hiking by myself.
When you go out there, there's other people out there.
So I know, and that's what, but they say, yeah, it's the other people that they're concerned
about. Oh, the other people.
They ain't trying to get lost in the woods. They ain't trying to get the woods.
Oh, my God.
Find themselves in a get-out situation.
Oh, my God.
But it'd be like, that's the level of trauma and the anxiety that come up for people. And it'd be like, so it's like, it takes really, like, you showing them, going with them, hope. Hey, join me on this. Just come experience.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Like, you know, we're talking about how we feel like that's missing here. Like, how can we, like, bridge that gap, like, come together and, like, create something just for us, you know, the spiritual girlies, and also just exposing people more to it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just expressing the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like the people that I have around me, like, my friends and stuff, like, they are supportive, and I had, like, a self-care workshop. I need to start getting more into doing my self-care workshops again. But I do feel like if I have something like, oh, like a girl's like outdoor something, yeah, or, you know, mm-hmm, like, or a spiritual gathering or something, I do feel like they would come and support and like, you know what I'm saying? So I think we just start there. But I think we just gotta start some fucking weird.
We started. I mean, that, so I do, I'm one of three of the co-founder of Black Rose Wellness. And me along with two other Black therapists, we already noticed the demand, the lack, and we started cultivating these healing retreats for Black women in films that do want to center their spirituality, that do want to connect with nature, that wants to have an opportunity to actually experience what holistic healing entails, whether that's sound healing, breath work, Reiki, spiritual baths, and we're providing psychoeducation and teaching folks literally how to reclaim your wellness, how to heal through intergenerational trauma, but also how to connect back with that goddess within, connect with your intuition, yes, trust your body, and begin creating this sisterhood where we do know who the spiritual girlies are. Yeah. We do know who we can call, hey, you know what? Let's go hit a hike. Or it's this movement of how we like to tell it, even when we launch our events, we like, grab your bestie. Bring somebody new with you.
Yeah.
Just instead of going out for happy hour, just come and try something different. So it started, it's happening, and we're also not the only Black women that's cultivating these spaces out here. So it is a movement, and it really takes just leaning in and knowing where to find it.
Okay, so I have seen that you guys have like a group thing. So how often are you guys doing that?
So we do those quarterly. So every 3 months, and right now we're pretty much starting off the new year, and so we will be anticipating our first retreat.
We're just now starting off the new year.
We're just now starting off the new year, and I mean, we almost there. Wait till March.
Exactly.
But yes.
That's for the new year, the actual real new year.
Yes.
Sorry.
And I mean, also the things we even bring up in our retreats, right? Yeah. Attuning to the seasons and how we naturally. Right, a lot of people feel depressed during, I mean, this time of year. Whether you are in the gray and gloom or you're in the winter, wherever it's at. But knowing, because this is really our season to be hibernating.
Exactly.
And when we're going against our natural cycles, guess what? You're gonna feel depressed because you're forcing your body to do something that's not in alignment. Yep. And I get it, because we gotta make that money. But your body is calling for rest, so.
But I do feel like, to your point of like paying attention to this season, our body's not ready for all that, like it's a hibernating season. Like, yeah. I do feel like people are harder on themselves that calendar new year.
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
oh yes,
my resolutions, right? It's like, what? It's not resonating. You never stick to your resolutions because you're not supposed to.
Right, this is the time to just be setting the intentions for those resolutions to come into fruition in the spring. It's planting your seeds that's literally gonna sprout. So it's like getting in flow and opening yourself up to receive.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh my God, I really have to come to the workshop with the quarterly one and one of the workshops with like the parenting therapy. I really have to. It's like, this is literally just like full circle moment. Like, I really need to. But I also wanted to touch on, mm-hmm, so I know you said that you always wanted to be like in this space because like that's what you saw your mom doing and stuff, you know? But have you always been this spiritual person?
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
The spiritual.
Right.
My spiritual awakening came about 3 years ago. So while I was always, I realized for one, I was claircognizant and clairsentient. Those are things, so claircognizant is when you have a divine knowing, when wisdom drops in your spirit. You know things, but you don't, you know, you may know people's secrets. And they like, how do you know this? It dropped in my spirit. And so that's something I always used to call myself as a kid, Miss Zio, because I wouldn't know
Miss Zio.
Yes. And I used to feel things. Like I said, I could feel energies. I never knew that's what it was, but I could always feel and I would command things. Like, maybe I have a powerful tongue. And that's what I like to teach folks to tap back into. Baby, your voice is a very powerful healing tool. And you can really temper or call in and set aside, do so many things just with your voice alone. Mm-hmm. But I got into the energy work because literally I was forced to. Wow. Literally chronic health issues. Yeah. Going through being in what became a very traumatizing and emotionally abusive marriage. Mm. So unfortunately, I ended up with an autoimmune disease. Mm. And so that just kind of sent me on a healing journey. And I knew folks was not getting me, like in the medical system, mm. outside of my naturopath. Because baby, I got a black naturopath out here, and y'all, if you don't know, Dr. Norman Williams.
Yeah, I need
she's
that.
The truth, okay? She's a lifesaver, and she saved my life many times. Mm. I'm so grateful to her because that woman, when you tell her something, baby, she gonna explore it to the end of it. You ain't no, whereas when you go to Western medicine, they're like, oh, nothing's wrong with you. Oh, you're fine. You know, wait for something to happen. I had rashes popping up on my body. Mm. Baby, she pointed me and she's like, oh no, let's get you screened for lupus. Let's get everything. And turns out I was experiencing an autoimmune disease that was connected to lupus. Mm. It's all stress related.
Wow.
So that literally led me, I would say spirit led me, to literally engage, pick up different books, because I knew that what I was seeking, it was not found within the hospital.
For sure.
I definitely tapped into Reiki practitioners here and sound healers. And literally, I left my marriage. I left my home. I disconnected from that relationship. And 6 months after receiving this autoimmune disease diagnosis, it was in remission. Whew, girl.
Great job.
The room was just like, oh, Zabara, you took the medicine. It worked. I was like, no, I didn't take the medicine.
No,
but this is what I did.
Yeah.
And I know the power of it. And I was like experiencing the healing, baby, from sound bowls, from tuning forks, and engaging in Reiki, and understanding that you have to move that energy. You have to release it, or it will literally, it will kill you. And so that's what made me then, once I healed through my things, I went to get Reiki attuned. I started my journey on my sound healing certification. So it's like everything that happens to me is never just for me alone, because the divine created me to literally be the healer that I am, because I do a lot of self-healing. But to go, and then I spread it to our community and show them what's possible, because unfortunately, sometimes we gotta see it to believe it, rather than believe it to see it, which is how we should be. We need to believe it before we see it. Yeah, so that's how I got here.
Oh my girl. Thank God for you.
Thank you.
I really, and you know what? It's been a long time coming, because my, she then was like, you have to meet this girl. I think you guys will be She's like, I think you guys will be like really good together. And I was like, okay.
I'm all right. And now here we are.
Yeah, here we are, because like I, just FYI, everybody like listening, watching, a healing journey is never ending. Like when you start this work, so I was telling my man last night, like,
it just keeps going.
Like, bro, you have to continue doing the work. Like, you can't just go to therapy for 1 year and be like, I'm good for the rest of my life. Like, yeah, no, that's not how this shit works. Like, it's continuous work. You don't stop. You keep going. Yes, like, it's not going to be perfect. You're going to go through some shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just like anything else. But you have these tools in your arsenal to assist you on this journey. You know what I'm saying? So, anyways,
get into it.
Speaking of the tools,
get your weapon on.
Like your Reiki and the sound bowl healing, like those are two things that I really want to get into myself and just learn more about it. You know, I really want to get into religion, but I feel like that is like a whole. So I'm gonna have to have you back.
We're gonna definitely. You're have gonna to come
be.
Back.
She's gonna be there. Girl.
There's gonna be a part two.
Yes, we are not done.
No, we are not done. But I really do like want to get into like spirituality versus religion. That was one of the things on our list because that is like a whole.
It's a big one.
Because I was gonna say like the religious experience that I have had in the past. And including my spiritual one, like I've always been told, like, oh, you're like you have a bigger purpose, like you're a healer, and I'm like, people said that to me in the church, like, oh, you have healing hands. I'm like,
yes.
talking about like what do you mean?
Exactly.
So anyway, like these are right, baby. So those are things that I like want to dive deeper in myself because I've had it done. I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's like that time. I feel like that's where spirit is calling.
It's leading you.
So it's just like. Good to have somebody like you, a sister that I can like lean on for that to ask me questions. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know what I'm saying? So I just thank God for you.
I'm
and I'm so glad that we got the opportunity to sit down and get some tea.
Yes, ma'am.
And have like some juicy conversations and also get into your business. I'm just so proud of you as a Black woman.
Girl.
I'm so proud of you. Just want to give you your flowers.
I do.
You are doing a really good job in the community with what you're doing. So I just want to thank you for being here.
Thank you. And let's give you your props, okay? Thank you for being a trailblazer. And hello, directing her podcast. Like, this sis wears multiple heads.
And also being a girly out here pushing the self-love, the self-care, the spirituality of taking care of yourself because spirit is really calling on us to get back to these holistic healing properties because, baby, we so out of alignment.
We are.
And it only happens when we all answer that call and speak to our communities that listen to us.
Yes.
That's how we're going to spark this revolution, baby.
Period. And we're going to keep on doing this work. And I will definitely, she will be back, you guys. The tea was just too hot for her not to come back.
Okay. Yes.
So tell everybody that's listening and tuning in and watching and all the things where they can find you.
Yes. So you could definitely find me on Instagram at sunflowerz_heals. And my website is www.zadora.com. And that is ZADORAW. And you can definitely check me out on YouTube as well at A Sunflower's Glow, where I post different meditations, grounding videos, nature videos, and parenting videos. So it's definitely it's a whole little vibe over there.
You guys better go follow her, go on her website, order some products, all things.
Come on.
Period. So again, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to episode 3. Thank you for the support. And do not forget to come back for the hottest tea with
your bestie.
Period.
Thank you.